The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, we are your hosts, and welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing swell, thank you.
How you been? Like, I haven't heard from you in, like, forever.
Me either. I was just going to ask myself the same thing.
Where have I been?
You're, like, behind me. Kind of scares me.
Well, you should be afraid when someone's behind you. Someone is...
That's why I want to sit against the wall.
That's what they used to do back in the old days.
Is it?
Yeah.
So like in the bars and stuff or whatever?
Yeah, you don't put your back to the door, that's for sure.
Saloon?
Yeah. Been to a saloon lately?
Can't say that I have been at a saloon lately. You?
Oh, yeah, I go all the time.
The old saloon.
So what's going on? I notice you have a Zoom on your...
That was from recording a band rehearsal. Unplugged yet.
Oh, I see.
For the January 1st show at the DH.
Otherwise known as the Dominion House.
Mm-hmm.
January 1st.
New Year's Day Eve. 9 p.m.
New Year's Day. Oh, the night of New Year's Day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're going to be doing some acoustic playing.
Yep. Unplugged. Finally got Uncle Joey to use an acoustic bass, too, rather than plug in his Fender.
It's not going to be completely unplugged.
Completely.
So people got to come right up to the stage to hear
it. Right up.
That doesn't even seem logical.
But they can't get behind us because we're going to be against the wall.
No, your guitar...
No, we'll plug in, of course.
Into the
PA. Yeah, so, they're electric acoustics, but...
Explain.
Still kind of unplugged. I mean, I would imagine, I haven't been in there for a while, but the room is probably small enough. We could do an acoustic without plugging in.
No, you can't.
No?
No.
Why not?
It sounds like crap.
Would it?
Yes.
Why?
Because there's not enough volume coming out of your instruments.
I play hard. I'll use a bigger pick.
Do you work hard?
I'll cut a bigger hole.
Yeah, none of that stuff's going to help you out.
No.
If anything, it's going to make your guitar sound like poop. So,
well, it's an ovation, so...
You're not
Can't get any poopier.
You're not playing the Ovation.
Of course I am.
Why wouldn't you play the Gibson?
That's all I ever play. I don't take that anywhere.
Why?
I don't know. I might.
I
never know.
So.
But the thing is, though, we have matching guitars. My bass is an Ovation. My bass is an Ovation.
Oh, and that's what Joey's going to play.
And in case we get a standing one, we want to have the right guitars. Are you going to come out and play with us?
As far as I know, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Should be fun. And the headliner that night is not Jeffrey David's Blues.
No, it's Psycho. The other band is called Antioch. There's another band after us, a metal band. They sound pretty cool, I think.
Another metal
band?
From
what I heard online, yeah.
Antioch, you know what that is?
What?
It's a Greek town.
It's a Greek town?
Yeah.
What do you mean a Greek town?
Greek city.
A city, okay.
Yeah. I want to say Greek town because we have a Greek town right over there where you can get yourself a...
Greek stuff.
Greek stuff, yeah. Well, that's going to be fun. I'm kind of curious, why don't you do the full-on Marshalls in your face when you got a Psycho and an Antioch?
I'm not sure, really. Well, Mike asked if I wanted to do an acoustic. For some reason, he likes an opening acoustic set for some reason. Like when Psycho and JDBC were playing at the Loop, he booked an acoustic act to open up. Not sure why.
Oh, I see.
Just likes it for some reason. So asked us to do an acoustic set, which is cool by me because we hadn't rehearsed or anything.
Right.
With the full band.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we might look at playing some shows in the new year, though.
So Brett's going to just shake some tambourine, hit a...
No, it's just Uncle Joey and I.
Well, there's no...
We're just doing a duo.
No, nothing keeping time.
No. Hopefully you.
I'll carry
tap that foot.
Tap the foot, yeah, for sure. It's all you need. You need something, I think.
That's not all we need, but
Well, he needs a bit of talent, some songs to play. You going to be playing any standard blues tunes?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's a little whack of covers that we'll do. Do you have any news?
Nah, there's nothing really newsy that I found worthy to spring on people. Do you have anything?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, really. Well, something that's kind of fitting, sort of, for the show today.
Yeah, before we get into that.
Yeah, though, what?
This is kind of new to me. What is it called? The South Detroit Soundhouse.
Oh, right, yeah.
Did the thing with Scott Weiland.
Mm-hmm.
How did that go?
It went really well. It actually went surprisingly well. And
I don't know what that means. Surprisingly, what did you expect to be a train wreck? Or
no, it just—I mean—it was really smooth, and you know, we had new lights, and the venue was so cooperative, and his PR people, publicists. It was just great. Hard Rock Cafe in Detroit, and he was really cool. It was really cool.
All right.
He seems different in a lot of different interviews, though.
He does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's in a different state of mind, it seems like, every
time. I guess. But it was really good, and he had he came up with some really cool, like, one-liners about rock and roll that I was, like, impressed by.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. Yeah. He's doing some cool stuff, anyway.
And what's the name of his outfit again?
Wildabouts.
You.
You?
Wild About You.
What's that?
I'm wild about you.
Is that, what is that?
That's what you say to Lana every morning.
Oh, it is, yeah. So our show today is actually on Marshall.
Right.
So everything Marshall, Marshall Amps, Jim Marshall.
Marshall, right? Marsha. Oh, I don't know. Marshall.
Marshall. You know what that is?
Beck.
Huh?
Beck.
No, why? How?
It's a song that he sang.
Eminem.
Okay.
Marshall Mathers album or whatever.
Marshall. Oh, right, yeah.
Jimmy Page has responded to recent comments regarding Led Zeppelin made by Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards while he was promoting his latest solo album, Cross-Eyed Heart. Richards was discussing the importance of band chemistry versus image with Rolling Stone magazine when he said, "It's playing together that is the important thing about bands, and so many bands are manufactured. I mean, even Led Zeppelin was manufactured by Peter Grant."
Wow. He's saying it was a manufactured band.
Yeah. So, well, I don't really know, you know, the relationship with Peter Grant. Did he put the band together with a bunch of guys or kind of thing? And I don't think that it's this in the same way that the reality show will put people together to, you know, form some kind of supergroup thing.
Right.
Back then, whereas some bands are, you know.
Peter Grant was like a facilitator.
Yeah.
He knew a guy, and he knew a guy, and that guy knew a guy.
Is that how that happened, though, putting Led Zeppelin together?
That Peter Grant was responsible for?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. Hmm. He was definitely made all the business decisions.
Well, yeah. Well, so, manufacturing what goes on is a different thing altogether, and I don't see anything wrong with that. You know what I mean? If somebody's making all the decisions and, you know, running the show and managing it and whatever is cool. And if the Rolling Stones weren't managed or anything and did everything on their own and how they wanted to do it, you know, that's okay too. But
you can't necessarily
say it was just manufactured because somebody knew what they were doing. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%. I don't think manufacture is a very good example there. I mean, just the fact that Peter Grant was in the movie, he had his own dream sequence.
Right.
In Song Remains the Same, which, I think the first time I saw it, I'm like, who's this big, fat, bearded dude? Who is this guy? I had no idea who Peter Grant was. And I found out it's their manager. I'm like, what the heck?
And Peter Grant died at some point, didn't he?
He's dead.
He's not still around.
No, I don't think so.
Wonder what he'd be doing today. And I don't know that much about Peter Grant, so I don't know what he did aside from that, actually. Do you have any idea?
Well, he managed bands.
Yeah, like? Who else?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know if it's anybody that we would know.
Okay. So, in other news, Def Leppard's Vivian Campbell says his cancer treatment's working. Pink Floyd plan a wider release of earliest known recordings. Well, that's something kind of neat. Let's see what else is going on in the news these days. There was something else I found that was pretty cool. I don't know if I could find. Oh, Voivod plan new EP and album next year. Voivod's a heavy Canadian band from way back.
Really? They're Canadian?
Voivod?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did you ever play with them?
No, did not.
Wow, wow.
Okay, today's topic, Marshall, Marshall amps, Jim Marshall, bands that use Marshall amplification, maybe some Marshall frequently asked questions, and what to consider when you're buying a used Marshall, perhaps.
Absolutely.
And I think you also wanted to talk about the Marshall plugins, or lack thereof.
Right.
Which is important, I think. It's very important to me.
Well, especially in this day and age.
Absolutely.
Let's start with you first, so... What was your attraction to Marshall amps?
All the bands I like played Marshall amps.
Okay,
I think that was it. And, you know, then just the association with rock and metal and loudness and...
The tone.
The tone, the simple, cool look, the black and gold maybe, probably everything. But that everybody used them, yeah. Priest was using Marshall and Sabbath was using Marshall and...
Yeah.
Everybody. Except Lips. Lips was a big influence, and he used Fender.
Well, he's playing Fenders,
and same with Ted Nugent. Big influence, but they played Fenders amps.
Right, right.
Used Fender amps, I should say. Didn't play them.
You never played a Fender yourself?
Did you ever Fender guitar, you mean?
Amps.
Not really. I think I might have had a little Fender practice amp at one time.
Right.
One of the ones with the fuzzy gray on it, you know?
Oh,
I forget what they were
carpeting
called. Yeah, yeah. You know, just in from trades and whatever, you know, kind of thing. But
right.
Yeah, never into it. Nope.
You ended up with one. I tried the, I guess I was more leaning towards the Fender aspect of it because I was into the blues thing and I thought Marshall was just a one trick pony. I had the fuzz and had the tone, and if you weren't playing that, well, then whatever you were playing wasn't going to sound.
Pretty much it was a one-trick pony, except for the fact that all the amps sounded different.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right.
You had to...
Marshalls.
It was a tough job, especially if you're looking for, you know, want to buy a used Marshall, because they were even more expensive really then, you know, relative to what everybody's making or whatever, especially right. Young bands.
Exactly.
To buy a... You know, 100-watt tube head or something like that. So looking for used Marshalls is very difficult because they all sounded different.
Right.
So, you know, if you're looking for a specific tone, you know, so in some cases you could buy the same two head and they both sound different.
Really?
It was odd.
Hmm.
Nothing ever seemed to sound the same.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's the modifications and whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But now everything's changed. And I'm not as familiar with new Marshalls. You know, I played... through some and check them out in the store and that kind of thing, and now they're like hot rotted, so you know, to have all different kinds of sounds. And some of the Marshall's combos and heads are digital now too, with you know, MIDI out capabilities for like programming and stuff like that.
Right.
Which was all cool, but they haven't taken as big a step into the digital realm as I hope that they would, so that, you know, I could use Marshall plugins and not even use amps anymore, honestly.
Right. You think that's just the logical place to go as far as amplification goes.
And it is, and I don't really know the reason behind them not really doing that, and you know, we'll get into that later, because there are a couple of plug-in companies, you know, software companies that use Marshall replication for their plugins, but right. Some do, some don't have a license to use it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And only one does, actually. And it's the most expensive, hardest one to attain. And anyway. Right. And it's one amp. I think a 59 something or other. So, but we can get into that later. And do you have a Marshall at all now?
No, I don't.
You're using a PV? 5150
the still? The 5150, yeah. Okay. It's been my workhorse for...
And that's... there's no new version of a 5150. I mean, there's a different number or something, isn't there? But there's not. They still make the 5150?
No.
Right.
No. As soon as Eddie and...
That's an older amp.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say 20 years old.
Yeah.
And...
they do sound good, though. I'm not a fan of PV, but that amp always sounded pretty good.
Right. I think a lot of studios that record rock just
usually... It's got a nice smooth gain, I think, to it, too. And
it's I just like it for the versatility of it.
Yeah.
Which I found was lacking in the Marshalls.
Yeah. Well, you need a brand new Marshall, that's why. Now, lots of versatility.
Probably. Now, I noticed that you got the... What, these are the MG series?
That's an MG15, little practice amp, yeah.
But these other two, Jeff's got a... JD's got a little practice amp, and he's got a combo amp, and he's got a head and a cabinet.
Right.
And they're all the MG series.
They are,
yeah. So tell us about the MG series.
Well, the MG series is really not tube amps, you know, solid state, and a little less money than their big brother counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And I acquired them, you know, from a good deal, whatever. So, and still able to. I used to have heads. I had a couple of Marshall stacks, you know, old tube amps. They're very temperamental. You got to watch how you move them around, and yeah. You got to be very careful with them. And changing tubes is pricey, and you know, all those kinds of things. And there's really no replacement for that particular sound, but I mean, it's hearing a Marshall is still hearing a Marshall. You still know, you know, what that particular amp is and that sound and the characteristics of a Marshall.
Right.
So these don't have tubes and they're not as temperamental moving around, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then not having to replace tubes and stuff like that. So using it in a studio environment for me, I don't really have to worry about that kind of stuff, or right. I'm going to turn it on one day and a tube's blown or who knows what. So that kind of stuff. And then having the few of them is versatile for me too, for different applications, I guess. One sounds bigger than the other. One's great for moving around. One's good for using for rehearsal. And then quite often, and for a lot of recording projects, I use a Marshall Jackhammer pedal. Yeah, Marshall makes pedals. And the Jackhammer pedal, though, at some point in time, I guess they stopped making it. So you have to hunt around for a used Marshall Jackhammer pedal, which is their full gain pedal. But I use that through a 412 cabinet simulated DI, and it sounds killer. And I love it. I've actually used it live and gone through the PA with it too. And it's just totally amazing. I love it. And
that's very cool that they made something and they put the sound in a pedal.
Yeah. And then they don't make it anymore though. I don't know why. They make all their other pedals except the Jackhammer. You can't buy a new Jackhammer pedal. Like it's, they show it on their website, but you can't
actually
get it anywhere. Yeah. So in doing a Marshall show, of course, we're listening to artists that play through Marshall amps, yeah. And the first one, none other than...
The man who had Marshall in his middle name, it's Jimi Hendrix doing Manic Depression. We'll be right back.
And so let's talk a little bit about the man behind Marshall.
The man behind Marshall?
Jim Marshall.
Oh, okay.
James Charles Jim Marshall. Born July 1923, passed away in April of 2012, known as the Father of Loud or the Lord of Loud. And he was an English businessman and pioneer of the guitar amplification. His company, Marshall Amplification, has created equipment that is used by some of the biggest names in rock music, producing amplifiers with an iconic status. In 2003, Marshall was awarded an OBE for, what is that?
Order of British Empire.
Okay. For services to the music industry and to charity. And he's considered to be one of the four fathers of rock music equipment, along with Leo Fender, Les Paul, sure, and Seth Lover. You know what, who Seth Lover is?
High Watt guy?
What?
The High Watt guy?
No. The developer of the humbucker pickup.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Something that's quite widely used in
rock music and, yeah.
Guitars today, pretty much.
Yeah. If it isn't a humbucker, it's
hum canceling pickup.
Yes. If you want to get some hum, just buy yourself an old Strat.
Yeah. Pretty much any old guitar.
And it seemed like a lot of guitar players turned their Marshall up really loud to negate the hum that was coming out of their
kind of just trading one hum for another. If you listen to Black Sabbath Live at Last album,
yeah,
before every song, he turns his guitar up, it feeds back, and then he starts.
Yeah.
Every single time. And that's with old SGs, actually, in Marshall. So.
Same with Jimi Hendrix. Too many Jims.
This next band is something I was turned on to by a guy at a local record store, Dr. Disc, years and years ago. Mike, thank you for that. This is the band Vane, and they use Marshalls and Gibsons.
Bye.
And we'll be right back.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back.
All right, we're talking about Marshalls on the show today, and we just talked a little bit about Jim Marshall and
Marshall.
Can I
ask you about that band we just heard?
Oh, Vane, yeah.
And where are they from?
L.A.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere out there in the West Coast.
Chick Singer.
No, it's a guy. He's could sort of, I guess, kind of be confused with a chick. He's well, it was kind of like the glam. Not they weren't as much glam look, I guess, but he was like, you know, sexual and good looking, long right. hair, you know, like girlish, like a lot of bands were, you know, from that time or from that area kind of thing.
Yeah, glam, for sure.
And, you know, big hair, lipstick and all that kind of stuff, maybe, or whatever. Not that I don't know if he wore lipstick, but Davey Vane, that's the singer. And at some point I can't remember who he started a new band with after Vane. But it was a few really cool guys, like I want to say, like Slash and Davey Vane and so and whatever. But
okay.
I never could find
the new stuff,
the album or anything. I think something was made, or they had got together and maybe didn't record it, or I don't know.
Didn't pan out.
So let's talk a little bit about Marshall products. So there's all kinds of amps, and the new things are really beefed up, and they have the Marshall pedals, a number of different kinds of pedals. They have a compressor, echo pedal, the jackhammer, which you can't find anymore. Marshall Governor pedal. You know what Marshall Governor was?
And they spelled GUV'NOR.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember looking into that. I might even have bought one at some time.
Yeah, what it was this box that you could use with your Marshall amps so that you could crank the amps up.
All the way.
And then, all the way up. So you have the full blown gain craziness of the Marshall sound,
right?
Yet the governor would control your actual volume,
compromising the tone,
right? Without compromising the crazy tone that you get from cranking everything up. So, right. Marshall Blues Breaker pedal, which I've never tried, I wonder what that's like. It's probably a little less gain, overdrivey type thing or something for blues music.
Well, it's a I wanted to play some on today's show, but we just couldn't get a hold of any of it.
The Blues Breakers?
The Blues Breakers with Eric Clapton, which was a seminal album from back then. And they were all into, as far as when Spinal Tap came out, they actually made an amp. I bought one now that I think about it. It was a JCM 900 that went to 11.
Oh, really?
Before I got my 5150, I went through a whole bunch of amps. Fenders and Marshalls, and I think that the JCM 900 that I bought was an amp that went to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's a reference to the Spinal Tap movie. If you never saw it, well, then you're probably not listening to the show. So I'm thinking everybody's seen that movie who's listening to this.
Marshall has expanded a little bit to some other things like monitors and speakers and headphones and some things like that. I think some iPhone or smartphone cases and things like that. You know, there are some other things. And of course, you can get this usual shirts and t-shirts and caps like that. So there's other stuff available for Marshall. They also make the little baby practice amps, the little ones that you can actually, I think they might even have a clip on the side. You can clip it on your belt or something like that. You know,
And it's battery operated.
A number of different things like that. Let's listen to another band that uses Marshall amplification. And what's interesting about this band is that, honestly, I don't know just how many bands are these days using Marshalls as bass amplification, which they do make. And this is, of course, Lemmy, Motorhead. Right, we're back, and we just heard some Motorhead, America, from the Iron Fist album. Lemmy cranking it up through Marshall bass amplification.
But they didn't make a bass amp, though, did they?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You can still get Marshall bass. And Marshall acoustic guitar amps.
Yeah, I've seen those. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize they had made a bass amp as well, which just, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I say I don't know how many bands are actually using the bass stuff these days, really. But you want to talk a little bit about the plugins?
Yeah, well, I was always amazed at the fact that companies, the software developers, would come out and you would virtually use an amplifier in whatever software you're using. You'd plug your amp, your plug your guitar into mm-hmm. into your computer, and you can pick different boxes, and you would figure they would allow you to plug into a Marshall amp within the software. Obviously, there's some licensing issues that have to be taken care of, but you'd think they would be more.
But if some these software companies, a lot of them are, especially one of the big few, IK Multimedia, who's licensed Orange and has a slew or all of the Orange amplifiers as plugins, mm-hmm. all of Fender. I mean, if they can license these, why aren't they licensing Marshall? You know, obviously it's Marshall is not allowing this right now for some reason.
Yeah, well, you'd think that's where music is going as far as recorded music is. Why not just allow the...
The biggest thing I can think of is that, you know, and I have absolutely no idea why, you know, and I've never heard anything about that, but, you know, maybe Marshall's just saying that, you know, we're a hardware amplification making company and we want to keep it that way for the most part, or we don't want to, I mean, in an ever-changing world of technology, amps and gear and things like that, maybe they feel that, you know, if we do that and people just start using that, then nobody's going to buy the amps anymore, because as big of a place that place they have in music and music history,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of other amps out there that people are using. You know what I mean?
So, for sure.
And some that have made comebacks and, you know, that kind of things. And so,
the thing with Marshall is that it's always has stayed in the family, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas a lot, I'm going to say 90% of the amplifier companies out there switched hands. Like, they either died off and then someone picked up the name and they started remanufacturing them, you know, offshore or something like that. Whereas Marshall, they're been pretty much true to their roots as far as making amps in England and then shipping them out.
And something that I've found is very familiar, similar to the Marshall amps are Blackstar amps, which are made by people that left the Marshall company.
Yeah.
Started manufacturing Blackstar.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool amp.
I forget who I just saw. You had mentioned him to me, and then I saw someone using one.
I'd play those in a heartbeat.
A Blackstar.
But yeah, again, it's like, you know, switching over or the cost and whatever. But I mean, they're amazing, really cool. Just as cool. Like for sound, for me,
yeah,
that's probably the only other amp I'd play.
That's interesting. Obviously, there's some kind of, not history, but the people who worked at Marshall had a certain sound in their head. And they may have thought that something was lacking, or they just wanted to get themselves into a...
Yeah, I'm not sure what the story is or why they weren't at Marshall. I don't know if they were cutbacks. I don't know if they wanted to do their own thing. I don't know if there were just some changes that they, you know, weren't happy
changes
with.
Changes are happening too slowly, I would have to think, you know, when you're...
Well, Marshall doesn't change much, actually.
Right. So if you're a company like Blackstar, you can, you know, come out with something different every 2-3
years. Actually, Marshall had a J... Jeez, what was it called now? JP1 or JMP1... rack mount. They had some rack mount stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. A couple of different models of preamp. Three, actually. One was totally MIDI, digital, which is amazing. They're very hard to find now. You can actually still get mods for them. Certain companies, I think Tech 21 makes a mod for that thing, yeah. But they're really hard to find, and they're still fairly expensive. I mean, it's a minimum. You're looking at $500-$600 to buy an old one from like the 80s or whatever. And they actually still make their, I think, one or two models of their power amplifiers rack mount tube. Even the that MIDI thing was a tube. The little AX, what is it, AX... 70 tubes or what are the, I don't remember the small preamp tubes, the little guys.
Yeah.
I want to even say my amps could have the little tubes in, but I don't think so. There are some that have the preamp tubes, but not the big.
Yeah.
I don't know which are the AX70 and which is the
AX7s.
Sevens. Are the big ones or little guys?
The little guys.
Okay. There you go. I don't remember anymore. It's since the 80s that I used all that stuff and I didn't appreciate having to play around with tubes all the time and wait for my amp to finally warm up, and it's crazy. But I had a couple cool things. One was modified by a guy that modified stuff for Frank Marino.
Oh yeah,
which was I had gotten off Mark Braddock. That was one of my Marshall amps, and then the other one I got in the States that was just modified with a mod that was. I remember finding schematic for it and stuff like that, and. I don't know if the story is true of who actually modified it, but somebody that worked on Van Halen stuff.
Okay.
But it was modded to the max. It like blew away the other amp that I had. Like it was smoking.
Yeah.
At some point they've got ripped off. I got like one of them back and you know.
Stuff happens. What do we got on tap next?
We got on tap something that Lippo brought for the show today. Cream.
Well, this is Tales of Brave Ulysses. Of course, Eric Clapton was a big fan of the Marshall amps and... this is a good example of it right here.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun. And the colors of the sea bind your eyes with trembling mermaids, and you touch the distant beaches with tales of brave Ulysses. How his naked ears were tortured by the sirens sweetly singing, for the sparkling waves are calling you to kiss the white lace nymphs. And you see a girl's brown body dancing through the turquoise, and her footprints make you follow where the sky loves the sea. And when your fingers find her, you in her body, carving deep blue ripples in the tissues of your mind. Tiny purple fishes run laughing through your fingers, and you want to take her with you to the hard land of the winter. Her name is Aphrodite, and she rides a crimson shell. And you know you cannot leave her, for you touch the distant sands. With tales of brave Ulysses, how his naked ears were tortured by the sirens sweetly singing. Tiny purple fishes run laughing through your fingers, and you want to take her with you to the hard land of the winter. We'll be right back.
summertime blues. Summertime.
All right, that's Summertime Blues by The Who. Back in the early days, both John Entwistle and Pete Townsend were using Marshall amps, another bass player who was into the bass thing. I'm not sure that he used a bass amp, though. But you tell me that Marshall was making bass amps even back then, you think?
That I don't know of how old 60s? Marshall bass amps are, but actually... And I don't know if I said this earlier in the show about Lemmy using Marshall amps, but Lemmy uses Marshall guitar amps.
Okay.
Lemmy doesn't use Marshall bass amps,
all right.
But there are Marshall bass amps. In fact, when we did the show with Psycho, they had Marshall bass amps they were using.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, that's the story. Then, of course, Townsend went to Hi-Watt, I believe.
Right.
And we're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And we're back with the Marshall Show.
Wait a minute. I'm back now.
Well, yeah, you're always late.
I wasn't back yet.
You were gone getting a drink.
So, Marshall plugins. The only actual licensed Marshall amplifier plugin is from Universal Audio. And their plugin is not available as simply as a plugin to use in your DAW, which is your digital audio workstation, but it's part of their hardware. So you have to buy their hardware unit, which is a nice idea because it's their DSP, digital signal processing, is done inside the unit, and you're not using your CP, that kind of thing.
Okay,
which is a really cool idea. And that plugin you can purchase for their proprietary hardware. Which, kind of a neat idea. High-end stuff. You'll find it in high-end studios and stuff like that.
Universal Audio.
The plugin itself is $200.
Right. But so. Universal Audio is a, what do you call it, like a standard platform, right? Universal Audio. Like, when people make plugins, UA is a very common, like if you're a software developer, you would make
it. No, you're thinking of AU plugin, which is an audio unit plugin.
Audio unit.
Okay. Yeah, that's something exactly totally different. This is a company just... called Universal Audio.
Oh, okay.
AU plugins, VST plugins, AAX plugins, which are the only plugins that you can use with Pro Tools. I don't even think any other soft, DAW uses AAX plugins. Pro Tools is proprietary. They don't own AAX.
Right.
But that's the only kind of plugin they use.
Okay.
So plugins are available in these different formats. But these guys, I don't know what even format this plugin would be in, because it only works with their unit. So I don't think it's any of those. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know exactly what this is, but I've not really looked into it because I don't have the system and I didn't care for those kind of reasons. But when we come back, we'll talk more about the Marshall plugins. So, as I mentioned, the Universal Audio Marshall plugin is for a Marshall Plexi Super Lead 1959. So, that's Plexi. What they have. Legendary sound of rock captured in all its power and glory. And, of course, like I say, you need the hardware for that. So, then...
How much is the hardware? So, the plugin's $200.
They started out a couple grand.
Jeez.
I think for their units, I'm pretty sure.
That's insane.
Yeah. You can actually check it out online at... it's U... audio.com. So that's where people can check that out if they want to. And, you know, they actually show the Marshall amp and the Marshall
they can
name and everything.
Get the logo and the whole deal, yeah.
And then we come to, and we should note that you can get the Marshall sound in a lot of plugins. Like most any major manufacturer of guitar simulator plugins and whatnot do make Marshall plugins, and they say modeled after the JCM 800 or whatever they are, right?
Yeah.
So they do that. They model them from the amps. Those are sounds taken from the amp, but they're just not officially licensed, and they can't say Marshall. The pictures of them in their plugins always are the black and gold, you know.
Yeah, so what is your opinion of these plugins that are modeled after Marshall amps and not licensed? They're pretty good, or they're
they sound pretty cool. I mean, they're modeled after, and some companies are better than others, I think. And I use a couple of top brand plugins from Waves and some IK Multimedia, and the stuff is, you know, Native Instruments also makes great guitar amplifier plugins. And you have great control over them. It's the amps, it's the speakers, it's different mics, mic placement. And now IK Multimedia just came out with a mic plugin that allows you to dial in the mic that you use to record anything and change it to a high-end mic, like a higher-end mic or whatever, which is pretty interesting. And it's all modeled after, right? They spend a great deal of time, money, and effort to mimic the characteristics using the actual gear.
Yeah.
So that's why the stuff does sound good. But until something's officially licensed by Marshall, I mean, that's when I would prefer to say that, you know, I could use it and say that I use Marshall. Otherwise, on anything that's especially official that I would do, I use something that's Marshall. So, but IK Multimedia has a couple different things out. They have the Jimi Hendrix Marshall plugin, but it doesn't say Marshall on it. It's licensed through Hendrix, from the Hendrix family, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And modeled after his amps, and it's Marshall and his Fenders and his different cabinets. It's kind of everything.
Right.
It's the whole package. So they have different ones. Yeah. And then there is the Slash model of plugin that IK Multimedia has, and they actually show the Marshall logo on there and everything. So I don't know how they get around the whole licensing for that one, because it doesn't say that it's licensed, Marshall licensed, but it's Slash licensed on his 100th anniversary Jubilee and another amp. There's that gray silver amp or whatever that was like a 100-year thing.
Yeah.
And then one of his other amps, and they're modeled after those, and they more officially state that they're the Marshall plugins, right? But they still aren't not licensed from Marshall itself. So they're licensed from Slash. Somehow they get around it by being able to license from the owners of these companies or whatnot, and not, you know, from Marshall.
Right.
So, they still can't say it's Marshall, although Slash's actually shows the amp with Marshall on the front, where Hendrix's show the picture of his amps, but it doesn't say Marshall. It says Jimi Hendrix on the amp, you know?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting, all these ways they get around the licensing issues.
Yeah, so let me just say a couple last quick things that we didn't really get too much time in for, and one is a buying used Marshall amp. You want to hunt around and find the exact sound that you want, and you'll want to take note of things like tubes and the internals and how old are the tubes and those kind of things. Is, you know, you may have to buy a new set of tubes and whatnot, or you may look for a Marshall amp that doesn't have tubes, like the MG series, which is really cool stuff. I mean, my MG series has effects and everything, digital effects and EQ, and they are quite versatile. They have a contour, which is really changes the sound a lot, which is really cool. Like, it's a type of EQ sweep thing, but it's, you can get really cool sounds out of it. So it's pretty versatile. And so that's pretty much it for the Marshall Show. And we'll leave you with some Metallica. But first, we want to let you know what we got coming up next week.
Next week's going to be the Motown Show. Next, we're going to be talking about the music that came out of the little studio across the river. It affected music.
We're actually doing the show from the Motown Museum, aren't we?
I don't know that you can do anything like that in there, but...
Can we go record in there? Like, do it right in the studio, recording
your Zoom
on their board? Yeah.
Do the show on your Zoom again. We've done a show or two on a Zoom.
Sure we have. And yeah. You still have your Myco track, is it called?
Myco!
What is it? Micro? I said micro, didn't I?
It's micro.
I said micro.
Did you?
Did I say Myco?
I think it sounded like Myco.
Okay. It's micro track recorder.
It's on tape. I've never been there myself. I've driven by it.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
On,
I'm surprised, actually.
That I've never been inside.
You're big into visiting these places. Why didn't you ever go there?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Wow.
You?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't like music. yeah, all the more reason we should probably take a trip over the pond and check out the place before we do the show, maybe.
All right, Motown.
We got lots of time.
Motown is our show next week, and now we're going to hear some Metallica. This is Creeping Death. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you again next week.
Bye.
to join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.